If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh here on Reality Check Radio. Today, I'm talking to Lincoln Jesser, all the way from the USA. We're talking about embracing the now. Lincoln is a sound healer, a DJ, musician, energy medicine practitioner, and creator of Healing House. Welcome to the show, Lincoln.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to share not only your music, but your story and your message with our lovely listeners today. For those of you that don't know Lincoln, emerging from the Coachella Valley desert, Lincoln has refined the indie, electronic, and house music scenes with his vibrant, summery sound. With a catalog generating over 100 million plus streams and massive support, his tracks on Spinning Records, Ministry of Sound, and Third Brain have cemented his place in the music industry. Driven by fostering spirituality within the music community, Lincoln is pioneering a new genre he calls Healing House, blending frequency healing, ancient sound techniques, mantras, pranayama, energy medicine, and mindfulness with contemporary dance music. His latest singles, Om Mani Padme Hum and Om Soham, have been met with overwhelming enthusiasm, propelling him to 400,000 followers and generating viral videos with over 10 million views in just 3 months. Guided by Grammy-winning sound healer Jonathan Goldman, Lincoln's innovative approach is not only reshaping music, but also fostering a collective ascension to higher consciousness on and off the dance floor. Woohoo! I'm so thrilled about this. Well, you know, this is amazing. And those that have been listening to my show for a while, we've been going a year and a half, they know I love to bring together the holistic health and healing, the spirituality, and also a little bit of the 3D, 5D ascension conversation. And you are very much along those lines. I would love to hear, well, obviously you've had this sudden success in a way. How has life been going for you, particularly in the past 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, thank you for that beautiful intro. Wow, I'm honored and so happy to be connected with, you know, the New Zealand family. Can't wait to be out there hopefully soon. But yeah, the last 3 to 6 months has been a beautiful ride. You know, I like to say life is a trip. It's definitely felt like a trip. I've been an artist and musician my entire life. I've been using songwriting and music to transmute feelings of, you know, challenging feelings that we all experience in life of loss or disappointment or heartbreak into light, you know, healing, kind of always intuitively. And I got deep into mindfulness in the last decade and got really deep into yoga and Vipassana meditation. And at the same time, I was going through the industry as a house music producer, electronic artist. And, you know, in the last 2-3 years, I linked up with my mentor, Jonathan Goldman, who you referenced, who's a, you know, an absolute wizard and genius. He's my guru. And he imparted so much wisdom that he absorbed over his years of study and research. And you know, through divine timing and alignment, it all kind of coalesced into this idea for Healing House, which I started releasing in April of this year. And when I put that first song out, Om Mani Padme Hum, which is a mantra that is basically the essence of Buddhism or Hindu teachings, and is really the expression of the fundamental perfections of the Buddha, it just struck a chord, pun intended, and the community really took off and resonated. And it's just been this beautiful alignment of souls that, you know, are on this same path of seeking spiritual knowledge and really just embracing the joy of life in a new way that combines the best parts of ancient practices with really like the cutting edge of science and technology. And it's just cool how it all comes full circle back into music, back into rhythm and being together and creating a coherent, cohesive vibration together. So, you know, the people that have reached out as a result of this music coming out, that have come into my orbit, and the opportunities that are starting to come for community connection and getting to, you know, invited to come perform all over the world and be with people who are of this 5D, you know, aspiration, this 5D mindset. It blows me away, and it's humbling and honor, you know, fills me with honor and joy. So it's been truly a transcendent year so far.
I imagine you, like me, like many of our listeners, believe in divine timing. Do you feel like, because your music is different, it's almost like the future of how music is. And a lot of people know that some much music that we've been hearing to our whole lives, the frequency of it is actually not always healthy, let alone the lyrics. Do you feel like it's divine timing that you have been able to bring this forward for the people now when they're ready?
I do. I feel that my own ups and downs of my own life, I have so much gratitude for the challenging times, because you're able to look back and see that those experiences, once you integrate them, they allow you to become more expansive and meet people where they're at. And that energy and that spirit, infusing that into these healing practices and the music of Healing House, is why it resonates and why people are connecting to it. And it's really about things that are felt and known, and as opposed to just being understood. It's beyond the logical, rational mind, which is the essence of connecting with quantum field or God or consciousness, whatever you want to call it, spirit. To me, it's all different names for the same thing. So yes, I mean, to answer your question, it's absolutely, you know, I give all thanks to divine timing, and I have faith in the universe that if I continue to put myself out there to be of service to others and to create art that allows people to awaken to their own limitless power to heal themselves and others, then there's really no way that I can go wrong, because that's what it is. That's what it's about. That's why we're here.
Well, we are going to play for everybody at the end of this interview. We're going to play Lincoln's newest hot off the press single, which just came out a few days ago. It's called The Saint. We're going to play that. And I'm possibly going to see if I can squeeze in another one of your songs during my show as well. Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit more. For those people that are listening, they might not have listened to my show before or some of my interviews, because they have a wider range of topics. When you talk about 5D, can you just explain, what do you mean by 3D, you know, and 5D? Can you comment on that?
Yeah. So 3D, most people are familiar with 3D, is basically this external reality that we call life. Conventionally, it's space and time, linear space time, and it's the projection of our minds, which are also in the 3D world, because, you know, our brain is made of physical matter. But the thing about the physical world is that underneath it all is this ever-flowing current of source energy. Everything is made up. If you cut down the particle into smaller thing, into an atom, and you keep going, eventually what you get to is these tiny little vibrating strings called quarks. And, you know, you can get more in depth with the quantum particle physics of it, but basically everything is a wave of energy. And what they found is that our observational energy, our awareness, collapses a wave, which is a range of infinite potentiality, into a particle or a fixed point in space time. But it's different manifestations of the same thing, of that range of possibilities. And so through aligning our own awareness, essentially just releasing and letting go, this is something ancient peoples understood from all around the world in their own ways, is that, you know, we call ourselves Homo sapiens, beings of the mind, but actually what we're evolving into when we talk about 5D is Homo luminous, beings of light. And everything manifested in this 3D world is a reflection or a condensation from this higher source of existence that is light, because that's what everything started as. The Big Bang, God said, let there be light. It's all, you know, Om is the vibration that everything kind of emanates from. And so when you start stripping it back to that, you realize how powerful it is when you anchor your awareness to vibration, because that is the fundamental of what we are. And all of these different emotional regulation techniques come into play, because when you allow yourself to embrace the now, simply be, and don't judge it, don't fight against what's happening, but work with it and make the conscious decision to occupy where you are in a way that is the most embodied, vibrating at the highest vibration, aka love, compassion, understanding. These things make us feel so good and feel so connected, because it's built into not only our biology and our chemistry, but our energetic infrastructure, or our spirit technology is what I like to call it. So these really simple practices that take things to their fundamental source, paradoxically, take us to these higher realms of consciousness, which we call 5D, because it's outside of the realm of three dimensions of, you know, the space-time continuum. And there's a 4D in between, which is kind of like this transitional thing. But and these terms are, you know, people have different takes on what they exactly mean. It's quantum. It's a range of things. But we all understand when we're in a room together and we experience transcendent art, and we become coherent in our energy fields. And there's a lot of power in that. And that is, like, Tesla and Einstein both understood that and have quotes talking about how frequency and vibration are the future of healing and medicine. Because when you study this and you have that intuitive understanding and knowing of what's going on, you realize that basically when we anchor our intent and awareness to an actual frequency, we can project outside of the realm of what we consider possible.
What an incredible explanation. Oh my goodness. Some people are going to want to go and listen to the replay, listen to that back again. Do you feel like more and more people are, because I feel like when someone is living life more from this 5D perspective, they show up differently, and their energy is different. And I don't mean they have more energy, they can go jogging. I just mean energetically, they show up differently, the way they interact with people. Do you feel like that's on the rise? There are more people that are living life in this kind of more 5D perspective or energy than before.
I do. I think it's kind of, you know, I believe in ultimately oneness, everything. If you go far enough up the chain, we all come from that same source particle, the cosmos, quantum field, spirit. But as it comes down into the 3D world, we go into the world of duality, you know, positive, negative, like literal positive electrons and negative electrons, like, come together. And that's what creates like matter and light, dark, black, white, up, down, positive, negative. So I feel that more and more people are waking up, and we have all of this new technology that it allows us to share information and ideate and conceptualize things in a way we never were able to. But at the same time, those are products of the mind. And so it's a double-edged sword, where the tools that could free us are also keeping us in a prison of our own design, so to speak. And so we have so much abundance in so many ways in the world these days, and yet so many people that have so much from a physical perspective or a material perspective feel more isolated, lonely, have different diseases that didn't necessarily exist in a large way even a couple decades ago. And so I think we're in this growing pain stage of the evolution of consciousness, where we need to understand and step into our own power with these things and realize that we're the creators of our own experience, and the quality with which you move in the world. You know, two people can be sitting in traffic and be having fundamentally different experiences within themselves. And so there's a famous quote, like, the revolution will not be televised. And I think that's what that means to me, is that it's a revolution from within, and that, but we have that potential to communicate that to each other through this technology that we've created, which is so miraculous. I mean, it's magic in so many ways. And so when we wake up to what we really have it for and what the real potential of it is, I think that's when we're going to really turn a corner. All that to say, there are so many, you know, I'm meeting them every day, so many incredible, I call my private chat community on Instagram, my broadcast channel, luminescent beings. There's so many luminescent beings waking up to their luminescence. And yet at the same time, the world, you know, is going through a lot of really dark, challenging, chaotic, traumatic stuff. And mm-hmm. those things exist at the same time. But the battle is to, in the face of all of that, remain centered in a place of gratitude for the things that we do have and properly valuing the things that really matter around us, which are the people, our loved ones, our community, our earth, you know, taking care of the food we're feeding our societies and like, and the music, the frequencies and all of it. So teaching people how to breathe properly, you know, there's these most fundamental things alter what it means to be alive and be a human. And so for me, it's just become my ultimate passion and mission is to create sacred space within myself with which, you know, when people come in contact with me, we're nervous systems interacting with each other. And so that is, you know, something to strive for is to create that peace within yourself that other people can feel and help to shift this entirely shiftable narrative that people have running through their minds about what's going on, to realize that if we just take a moment to be present, maybe some of the problems that we think are problems are only in our heads after all. And we can put that energy into things that will, you know, go a lot further for everyone.
We would love to hear your thoughts. We've covered so many things so far that we could dive deeper into. If you're listening, what is resonating for you? And how good are you at embracing the now? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you can send us a text, 2057 on the text, or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. Let's talk about embracing the now. I feel like everything you just said was basically the how of how to embrace the now. You talked about creating peace within yourself. Is that part of the key to actually embracing the now?
I think it is. I think Rumi has a quote that he said, "Yesterday I was clever, so I tried to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I worked on changing myself." And I believe that the external world is a reflection of our internal world. And there's, you know, any number of the teachers that I study and read and follow or have learned from directly kind of all say the same thing in different ways, which is this idea of heaven is a frequency inside of us that we can tune into. And you can do it in mechanical ways that take you out of your head and put you into your heart and into your body. And that's what the now is for me, because the mind is able to get caught up in the past or the future, but those things are ultimately illusions. They only exist in our own minds, and our bodies are still living always in now. And they're triggering hormones and chemicals based on our thought processes that manifest as real changes in our DNA and in our bodies and in our chemistry. So we can reverse engineer that and realize that what we smile when we're happy, but maybe when we smile, we can become happy. Like maybe they're more tied than we realize. And all of the research that they do is showing that that is in fact the case. And so, you know, the mind has a tendency to want to stay in certainty, you know, because our animal brain, where the ego, the mind that makes us think that we're separate from everything else comes from, is like, if you go into that unknown territory, like you might get eaten by a giant dinosaur or whatever was going on when we were cavemen, you know,
or a giant.
Or just a giant, you know, who knows? But thankfully, most people watching this are probably not under any physical duress in that way. Thank God for that. And what that means is like, we can shift out of our out of that mind into a higher level mind in which we actively embrace the unknown in ways where it's going to make us expand and move into new territory. And if you stay thinking the same thoughts that you've always thought and feeling the same things you've always felt, you're going to most likely continue to get the same results. But if you train your body to give off a new vibration based on your higher self and where you see yourself going, and you have enough coherence between your heart and your mind and your body, you become a cosmic radio receiver and transmitter, and you send that code out into the universe, and the universe bounces it back to you, and you see it reflected in a variety of ways. And the more you stay in that frequency, the more verification and validation and synchronicity you start to receive. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand in my own life to an astounding degree. I've seen it in the lives of my loved ones. And it's something that, you know, ancient spiritualists understood like intuitively. And I think humans have it built into us to understand that, but we have built these society structures around us that kind of cut us off from that way of our bodies naturally feeling at ease and feeling like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And our mind takes over and starts running the show and kind of making a lot of stuff up. And that, in my opinion, is what gets us into a lot of trouble.
It's so incredible, the power of the body. And you mentioned about the smile, which is so fascinating in terms of sometimes the way that you hold your body and physically move or don't move, right, can mm-hmm. really impact your mindset. So another example, I know you mentioned yoga. My listeners know I just recently started doing hot yoga, far infrared hot yoga, multiple times a week, which
you're a brave
I'm absolutely what's that?
I said you're a brave soul.
Oh, I love it.
Up in your brain.
This is what I say. I'm like, I never sweat. So I used to be a runner. I used to be an adventure racer. So I'm no stranger to hard work as such.
Yeah.
But in the recent years, I haven't done anything where I actually sweat unless I'm sitting in my hot tub, like, and I get a sweat mustache or something. That is like the extent of my sweating. So it's been quite a change for me to go to these classes. But I guess my point is what you mentioned about sometimes, you know, just by smiling, you actually elevate your mood and can actually then feel happy. Or even something else that I occasionally do, which is I go outside and I do what I call legs up tree. So I'll lie on the ground with my back's on the ground. Everyone has to picture it. My legs are like 90 degrees to my torso, but they're up a tree. So, and like they're just leaning against the tree, and I'm lying in the sun because I love the sun. So sometimes I feel like the things we can do and the positions we can put ourselves in. So environmentally, I'm outside and my legs are against a tree. I could easily do that in the house, but I'd much rather do it outside.
No, wow.
And then similarly, the hot yoga, some people can't stand the heat hot yoga. They would never want to do that, you know? And I'm like, I could stay in there all day. So different things for different people. Talk to me a little bit more about the impact of physical body positioning or presentation, and sometimes also doing nothing, like multitasking, right? So doing nothing and then allowing that to help us embrace the now. What other comments or experiences have you got with that?
Yeah, well, there's a very direct one in relation to what I do with Healing House and my more meditation-based experiences, which I call bliss-coded, but it's humming. It's called Brahmari Pranayama in the Hindu tradition, which is bee's breath. But the simple act of humming, which is creating a vibration within yourself, is like one of the most powerful meditative tools that we have. And it's the fundamental of sound healing. As I see it, because it's, you know, our vocal cords exist within us. They're free to use. They don't need a user manual. And there's really no way to do it wrong. You just hum and you notice how it feels. And what you'll notice is it feels really good. And you can just sit there and focus on the vibration of humming, and it naturally relaxes you. And it turns out that humming causes a 15x increase in the release of nitric oxide, which is a gas in the nasal cavities, which causes our blood to flow better, increases the oxygen in the blood cells, and just generally makes us feel healthier. It also unlocks melatonin from the pineal gland, the third eye, which regulates our sleep and is a really powerful free radical scavenger, antioxidant, and and, you know, affects our dreaming and our creativity and our intuition, where those states are where healing occurs, the parasympathetic nervous system state. So humming is like a very powerful physical hack that you can use to not only focus your mind, but also, even if your mind's not focused, if you just put on a song you like and start humming along to it, see how you feel after 2 minutes. I will put money on the fact that you're going to feel better. And that's one of my most powerful meditation tools that I use all the time. I go to the beach almost every day, and, you know, I take my shoes off so my feet are in the sand, and I sit and I do humming meditation. Which humming is cool because, you know, the listeners are all probably familiar with Om chanting. Om, that's really just humming. And that vibration is what Hinduism talks about as the origin of everything, the undercurrent of consciousness that is always there, whether or not our conscious mind is paying attention to it. So when we just allow our mind to be with the vibration, magical things start happening, because we get out of our own way and we allow ourselves to just be in the now through that sensory anchor of vibration. And so it's so powerful. And I think that there's a reason why you'll see little kids or babies, they just naturally hum for no reason when they're happy, because it feels good. And before you get socially conditioned out of doing things because you think they're weird or something, you do things that just intuitively feel good to you. And it's not a coincidence. It's because it's built into us.
Okay, everyone, there is an invitation for you in that. If you want to up your brave, you can hum in public at the beach. Yeah. I think why not? And otherwise, in your own home, in the comfort of your own home, humming, doing the Om, or just humming along. Like, you're right, we used to, like, as you go about your housework or whatever, humming and the vibration and the frequency. So there you go. If anyone wants to do that, incorporate it daily. And I imagine you will notice a difference in your mindset and your mood, which impacts your health and wellness as well.
Absolutely. So couldn't have said it better.
Tell me a little bit about lyrics. So when you are writing a song, how do you create the lyrics? And also, is there specific meaning, stories behind the music that you're creating?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been writing original songs since I was 12 years old. So, you know, over 20 years now. And so I've kind of explored a wide range of topics. And, you know, I started out writing just poetry before I wrote music. So I've just always been someone that was very literary minded. I love to read. And, you know, in the past, I've told a lot of stories, firsthand kind of experience stories about my life. But with Healing House, I actually started to really embrace mantras, which are repeated phrases, really. Traditionally, mantra means from the Sanskrit language, which is the seed language of Hinduism of the East. But I also expand that definition to mean really anything that you turn into what I call the vibrational code. And so it's something that you make the object of your meditation in your mind, and you sync your mind and your body up while repeating these mantras. So, you know, the first Healing House song was called Om Mani Padme Hum, which is the mantra of compassion in Buddhism. And it has all of these different intentions and traditions throughout the ages embedded in it. So I think of it as this vibrational code that lives in the cloud of the human superconscious. And when you tap into that within yourself and move the mind out of the way, so you just create this channel to source, you harness the power of not only yourself, but all of the people that have meditated throughout history of humankind, embedding their own intentions into this mantra. And we, you know, that's what the ancient sages believed as well and practiced. And so that's really been the focus of my new music, is mantra. So it's less about the story from a lyrical perspective, but, you know, the musical bed that I create with frequencies and tones that are intentionally meant to heal in a variety of ways, on top of the mantra, I tell a story and try to create tension and a rise and a fall that corresponds corresponds with the process of us surrendering and embracing the now and learning to not only be at peace with wherever we are in the moment or any challenging feelings that are going through us, to just be with them, but to actually have gratitude for them and realize that anything that we potentially see as a negative can be alchemized into a positive through intentional vibration. So it's, the songwriting process has been interesting because I'm basically waiting for mantras to speak to me. They've all kind of come as almost intuitive divine downloads. Like I try to get out of the way. I try to create an environment for myself in which I'm able to feel very deeply that something is coming from a higher place than this 3D dimension. And it just, I feel it in my bones, like to my core. And I'm like, this is what the next thing that I explore is. And I'll just sing and record, and then I'll usually like build around it. So it's less lyrical in that sense. And yet at the same time, these mantras are so loaded with meaning and have like specific uses when you start to explore them. And there's thousands of mantras, but there's specific ones that really speak to me or just make sense in the context of my own life and what I'm going through. And so that's kind of been the, you know, intentional healing frequencies plus mantras with dance music has kind of been the initial recipe for Healing House.
Well, I'm excited because with this interview, you're clearly very articulate and expressive and insightful and wise. And we're getting a chance to tap into just a little bit of that in the interview. And then I imagine you channel that energy, of course, into the music, but it's not literal. You're not literally saying things. It's more mantra based. So we're going to give people a chance to listen to some of that. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the backstory for the saint, if there is anything to go with that. But everyone, by the way, I'm going to tell you where you can follow Lincoln in a moment, but definitely on YouTube, Lincoln Jesser, L-I-N-C-O-L-N, Jesser, J-E-S-S-E-R. You can follow him. Definitely go ahead and follow on YouTube, but experience, listen to some things, make it something that you do maybe once a week or maybe every day. Some people might, it's a great way. Some people say to me, oh, like, I want to do these things. I want to do meditations, but I never really know who to listen to, or I don't have time. And it's like, just find one person you resonate with, like the music and the feel it in your body. And then it'll become part of your practice. How do people do that? If in terms of embracing the now and specifically meditation and mantras, how do they incorporate that into their life and actually do it?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's like a big passion of mine is helping people to understand that they can just be doing everything they're already doing in their life, but do it in a way that makes it meditation. Thich Nhat Hanh, who's an incredible wisdom bestower who passed away a few years ago, but just an incredible poet and enlightened being. He talks about, you know, mindfulness is breathing in and knowing that you're breathing in. And basically, if you stay with that, you stay with the breath, you sit, you feel your body sitting, and thoughts naturally will arise and you will get distracted, you will get bored. That's totally fine. But when you notice that you've been pulled away from the breath, you note it in a non-judgmental, compassionate way to yourself. You say, thinking, worrying, hearing a sound that, you know, got that distracted me. And you just release it and you begin again at the breath and breathe in and know that you're breathing in. And every time that you come back to the breath, it's like a rep in the mental gym. You're strengthening your awareness muscle and your ability to regain equanimity, regain your center, regardless of whatever the external circumstance is. And you can start applying that to more and more advanced, aka annoying life situations. So like, you know, I love the example of being in traffic and someone cuts you off. You know, a lot of people's first response is to just get really upset, and maybe you drive up to the person and, you know, yell at them or something, then you drive away and you're still mad. And the whole time you're doing that, you are pumping cortisol, the stress hormone, throughout your body. And you're punishing yourself through this thing that happened in one now that is already gone and is beyond where it exists in your mind. It doesn't exist. And so ultimately it's your responsibility after that event happens. So we can't control the things that happen you know, in the external world to us, but we can ultimately control how we perceive them and how we respond instead of reacting to them. And to me, that's the distinction between being in the grip of fate and rising to your destiny. It's instead of just submitting to the will of your quote unquote genetics, or I'm just like this, you realize that you are that ultimate programmer of your responses. And even that goes deeper than just the way you react to someone else outside of you, but the way that you speak to yourself, you know? And so through the act of meditation, you become more mindful of the language that you use to communicate to yourself. And it turns out a lot of people are really hard on themselves, much harder than they would be towards anyone else in the world, because most people have really profound depth of kindness and compassion towards other people, but they don't necessarily grant that to themselves. And if you flip the script on that and monitor your internal dialogue towards yourself, and you start reprogramming yourself to default to the positive, to the optimistic, you'll naturally see that your actions change in the real world and your habits change and your behaviors and just your general vibe. You know, people can feel that, and it'll start to manifest as more alignment in your life and more joy in an easeful, simple way that you don't feel like you have to chase after. It comes to you because that's what you're putting out and that's what you get. So there's really not one right way to meditate. You know, for me, I love playing with the different solfeggio frequencies specifically, are like, which we can get into, but there's specific frequencies that some of them have more clinical evidence than others, but they all have a lot of first person experience of this frequency does this specific thing, and they resonate a different energy center of the body. And you can kind of just put it on and just sit and know you're sitting, or breathe and know you're breathing, walk and know you're walking, feel the physical sensations of these things as they happen, and try to stay in that and allow that river of thoughts to just come and go and continually release as they come up, and you get pulled away, and then you come back to center. And the more you do it, your brain enters this new state where you just naturally start to feel more blissful, because that's how we're set up. Like, we're set up to do that. We have so much external sensory overload these days that we've just think is like normal now, whereas our bodies are still stuck, you know, 2000 years ago when we didn't have this technology or cultural expectations. You know, we were just in nature, and that's still how our bodies act. But our minds and the technology our minds have created has like moved too quickly for the body, and that causes a lot of stress. And so learning how to take the pressure off yourself and just be, you know, I love being in nature. Like I said, the beach, it kind of helps to naturally put you in that state. But setting aside some time where you don't have any expectations on yourself, except for that investment in your spirit, that strengthening of your connection to the now, even if it's just for like 1 minute, or even if it's for three breaths, you know, if you even just one breath, one mindful breath can truly change the entire trajectory of someone's day, which turns into a week, which turns into a month, a year, a life. So start as small as you want. I think having a consistent practice, like trying to do that one thing every day, will naturally grow into more and more. That's, you know, for me, it was like committing to sitting for 2 minutes a day, and then it turned into five. And then all of a sudden I was like meditating for 10 seconds whenever I got the chance. And then next thing I know, I'm like, the times my brain now, I've kind of trained it to where, and I'm very much human, you know, everyone messes up and we all fall off the horse and say things we don't want to say, or feel things inside that we would prefer not to feel for a second. But it's how quickly do you get back on the horse? How quickly do you release and realize that you're the only one holding on at that point, and it's all happening inside of you? And you strengthen that awareness over time in the way that feels good to you.
I'm really hoping that, and I'm anticipating that this interview will be a bit of a turning point for some of our listeners who have maybe aligned thoughts to some of the things we discussed today, or maybe some who have been thinking about doing some meditation or the impact of different frequency music, but didn't really know about it. I feel like we're opening their eyes a little bit wider, which is really exciting. That's what I'm here for.
Honored to be a part of that.
Yeah, I'm here to bring different perspectives, but also to bring out a lot of perspectives and knowledge that people have within, but I feel like they actually don't realize we're reconnecting them with what's within. I'd love to ask you the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, Lincoln, in 2024, what's left of it, what would you do or not do?
It's a great question. I'm constantly thinking in those terms. And, you know, I'm so grateful to the Healing House community because they're just naturally upping my brave every day. And the fact that I'm getting such love and, you know, support with this mission and this movement and project. So I think for me, upping my brave just means continuing to put these practices out there into more spaces where maybe it's not, you know, automatically assume that it would make sense for those people. Realizing that, you know, every time I do that, I get that affirmation from the universe and from the people that this is something that we all long for and need in this time. It's just what I, you know, have noted in my own life is what really helped me kind of break out of ruts and find that inner clarity and direction and joy that I felt a little walled off from before I kind of integrated some of these practices as much as I have. So I think just continuing to put it out there into spaces where it maybe hasn't been given that much exposure or light yet. And, you know, because sometimes people are resistant or skeptical or distrustful. It feels like too good to be true, or, you know, like I have some alternative aim or something I'm trying to get. And it's like, for me, it's the spiritual knowledge of being of service and seeing what happens when you do that is ultimately the thing that drives me. And, you know, money, fame, whatever, you can't take it with you, but the impact that you leave on the world and the energy that you infuse into others and into systems that makes other people's lives better is the thing that will remain forever. So that is what keeps me fearless in that way.
Well, it's definitely catching on because the growth that you've had in the last few months. And if we can help with that, if we can get have a few more people, not so much about the number of listeners, right? It's about the impact, the collective impact that that can have on humanity. That's the way that I see it. So that's why I love the work. I'm going to call it work. I know it's not work. The work that you're doing, the music that you're creating, and the conversations that we're having. What is coming up for you in the coming weeks and months? And how can people connect with you? How can they listen?
Yeah, so I have a fun couple weeks/months coming up, but I'm going to be, well, first of all, I have my new single, The Saint, is coming out August 23rd. I'm not sure exactly when. Whenever anyone is hearing this, it'll probably be out by then, but yeah. August 23rd is my new single, The Saint, is dropping, and I have a bunch of really fun live experiences coming up. I'm going to be performing at Burning Man for the first time, Burning Man Festival in the desert of Nevada it's the Friday of the week of August 30th. I forget that I'm terrible with dates. I need to check my calendar, but I'll be at Burning Man, and then I'm going to be headlining a music festival in Michigan on September 6th. And then I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina for a show on the 7th, and a lot of other dates to be announced very soon. So really just excited to be coming all over the world and meeting and being with members of the community. And, you know, those experiences inspire me so much, and they feed into the new music and the new vibrations. And I also do sound bath experiences that are more, you know, people lie down and we meditate and take a journey through vibration in a more ambient meditative way, as opposed to Healing Houses. It was more of like an ecstatic dance party, you know, more of a upbeat dancey vibe. And so we're going to be having more of those events. I just hosted one in San Francisco last week. That was so beautiful.
See, more people are getting into that, right, than ever before, the sound healing.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, it's such a great opportunity to first of all, it's just so fun from a social perspective, because it's all these people that are there for the same reasons and appreciating that same idea of embracing the now. And it makes for really powerful connections. And so I've just been so inspired by everyone that I've met at those experiences.
One of my previous guests, Coca Klug, and her friend Juliana, who's a DJ, they're doing something called Rise and Vibe. They're doing it at 7 a.m, but it's like a dance party 7 a.m.
Yeah, I did. A group of my friends in LA have an event called Best Morning Ever, where it's like a daybreaker event right on the beach. And so I set up my decks and we did like beach yoga at sunset and meditation. And so it was kind of a mix of Healing House, yoga, and the Bliss Coded Sound Bath experience all in one at the beach.
Amazing.
Right. Crack of dawn. It was a beautiful way to start the day. So,
oh, that's incredible. Anything at the beach, I'm in. So for those of you listening, you can find Lincoln. I love your consistency here. We've got YouTube, Lincoln Jesser, and then also on TikTok, Lincoln Jesser, website, LincolnJesser.com. And, or you can email LincolnJesserGMT@gmail.com. You can find all those links.
MGMT, actually. Sorry.
Oh, you know, you're right. Lincoln Jesser, MGMT, like management.
But got it.
@gmail.com. You can find all those links, including the Healing House community link. And I'll put them on the replay page, which is realitycheck.radio/replays. Go to Up Your Brave and you can find the full replay of this interview and all the links. But if you can't remember all that, just send us a text, 2057, or email inbox@realitycheck.radio and just say, Lincoln's details, please, and we'll send them through to you. We like to make it easy. All right, Lincoln, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to share with our audience? And can you please let us know a little bit more about Saint, because we're going to go straight to that next.
Yeah, so the Saint is, it's tuned to 444 hertz, which is called the angel frequency. And it's significant because it's the bass tuning from which most of the solfeggio frequencies are tuned, which the solfeggio frequencies are a series of tones that correspond to the chakras or energy centers in the body, but they were also used by Gregorian monks in chanting in the Western tradition. So it's something that humans all over the world kind of just intuitively have had access to. And so 444 is the fundamental of that. And the Saint is called the Saint. It repeats the mantra, Osai Baba. And I received that actually in meditation, not knowing what it meant. And I looked it up after the fact, and it turns out that there was a saint in India in the late 1800s named Sai Baba of Shirdi, who basically preached radical equality, love for all, that transcended religious dogma. And he was an ultimate healer and performed miracles. And I felt that when I discovered that, that was the energy that was channeling through me and wanted to make itself known through this song. So I'm honored to have it out in the world.
Well, we're going to play that for you, everybody, next. Any final words before we go?
Buddha said, make of yourself a light. And I'm so honored to be here making of myself a light and feeling the light of the community and the listeners, and just grateful to be here with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We've been talking to Lincoln Jesser on Embracing the Now. So listen to the song, and when you're listening, be sure to be present and embracing the now. Thanks, Lincoln.
Namaste.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.